Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 218 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for this on a Monday, June 29th, 2015. I am your host, Mark Kuznets, and we've got plenty of anime to talk about with quite a few shows ending, having already ended the spring season, and a few that are still ongoing, like Arimonogatari and Food Wars. I've got quite a bit of those to talk about, and I have finished the first season of Log Horizon, and I will have that reviewed for y'all after the weekly roundup. So I should probably just get on to that. I will leave you at that, but before I do that, I would like to recommend another anime podcast that's fairly new, and I checked it out and I enjoyed it. I think their release schedule is I don't know, it's maybe bi-monthly or whatever, every 2 weeks, but it's called Crazy Sunshine Podcast, hosted by Jace and Steve, and it is, I believe it's explicit, so don't let the kids listen to it, but I enjoyed listening to it, and that says something, because if I don't like listening to something, well, I'm not going to tell y'all to listen to it, because that makes me look like a fool, but yeah, it was nice, it was fun, and it was funny just hearing them talk about certain shows that, oh, it's like, oh yeah, I was going to check that out, and especially when they were talking about, I think they both recommended each other a show to watch between the episodes, and I was like, oh, Rolling Girls, one of them recommended to the other, and I'm like, the person had trouble remembering the title and ended up watching something else. And I remember specifically when I was looking for that one of not remembering the title exactly, and I did not get the right show at first. I was like, I don't remember what show I got. I don't think it was the same one that the one on that podcast ended up stumbling across, which was not good, but I remember stumbling across something, and it was not good, and I was like, this can't be right. The canon? So, Crazy Sunshine Podcast. It's available on iTunes and I think SoundCloud, and I'm not sure if anywhere else, but just Google Crazy Sunshine Podcast, or I'll have a link for it in the show notes. Check it out. Now on to the actual show.
Insane Ninja! Shing.
Punchline has finally come to an end, and oh, what an ending it has brought us. I'm still completely shocked by how good the show got. It ended up becoming one of my favorite anime of this season, and I can't believe from where it started, seeming to be this ridiculous, oh, it's just going to be panty, 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 har, har, har. Let's just have ridiculous nosebleeds and all this crap. And then transition from that into this very interesting, emotional, not so jokey, but rather serious tale of trying to save the world and your friends in particular. And yeah, it was really good. And it ended in such a great way. There were a lot of, you know, moments where it's like, oh my god, this is kind of heartbreaking. I can't believe a show that started on this whole panty thing delivered such a heartbreaking thing, because there were unexpected moments. You have this incredible battle to stop this asteroid from coming, and then you have your little android who has her arm ripped off and you're not sure if she's gonna make it, and then you have Yuta who is Pine and he's battling out, and of course, I pretty much knew it was going to happen. Mikatari, she ended up Ubering knowing that Ubering once more would be the last for her, and that she'd be dead after that. But they end up being able to, because of how they ended up switching bodies, it's like, if we all Uber at the same time, we can do that again. And they do that, but Pine his little switcheroo, and he refuses to go back into his old body, and then goes into Mikatari's body, so that he will end up dying, And then she is returned to her body. Or no. Yes? Yes, that's whose body she was in. So she returns to her body, and Pine is gone because he wanted to force what's his name? I don't even know what his name was. Was it Ryuto? I don't know. But the big baddie, forcing him to live with what he has done. And I was like, oh, I didn't see this coming. But it was a great emotional moment, and I didn't also expect to see Pine's other, his future self come into play at the very end, and then talking about how, you know, he's just going to have to go back further in time and stop all this from happening. And it's just like, oh, yeah, you can probably try and do that. But it was just really strong episode, a strong episode, a great finale for the series. I hope there isn't a plan for more, because I think it was a very strong ending, and it there's a way you could keep going, but I don't need that. I don't want that in a world where so many anime series end, or their seasons end, and they leave me wanting more. They leave on such open notes. Punchline does a really good job of wrapping up the story of this season, and I don't want them ruining that by continuing on for any reason. And I don't think that will happen, in part because I don't think it was the most popular show. Probably because it started out so poorly. But yeah, I also think that when... And I'm... See, this is the one thing that I'm so confused about. Exactly who... The name of the actual characters in their bodies. But when Mikatari goes into Yuta's body... So that means she is Yuta, technically, right? Whatever. When she returns to her body, and you see later on, I think it was like, 49 days after the failed attempt to destroy the world, and you see how she's turned that body back into a feminine body, I was like, oh my god, she's so cute! She's so kawaii! it was just like the super cutest, kawaiiest character on the show at that point. I was like, oh, I wish I would only want the series to continue on if I got to see more of her like that, because she was so adorable. I would love a figure of her like that, because it was just like, oh, we never really got to see what she would look like in her actual body, and we finally got that at the end. But yeah, there's a lot of good action in the episode, and I really love the fact that the show has been so serious for the last half that it goes back and is like, hey, don't forget, it started off on all this panty crap and has this ridiculous panty, just huge fan service moment at the end where you're just getting a bunch of panty shots. Upskirt shots and stuff like that, and then the cat, what's his name, Chiranosuke, he returns just as a regular cat, then steals one of the panties and is running off with it, and they're all chasing him, and then it ends, you know, before the credits, with this like freeze frame of everyone in these shots where you can just see panties everywhere. It's just like that, yeah. You didn't forget, I didn't forget, and this was it. It was a great way to just end on a lighter note. Yeah, it was just a really great end to the season, to the series. I hope it's the end of the series. It's unquestionably my most surprising show of the season, because I really was so very close to dropping it. I probably would have dropped it if I didn't pick it up after it had already aired like 4 or 5 episodes, so that I probably would not have kept up with it if I was watching it weekly. I would have just been like, oh, forget it. But I'm so glad I kept up with it, because it turned out to be not only my biggest surprise of the season, but one of my favorite shows of the season. And I hope more people go out and check it out, and that they give it a chance. And I know waiting until the 6th episode is a bit much to ask for, I really highly recommend doing so. And if you hit that sixth episode and you're just like, I'm still not in it, then, you know, just leave it at that. But I definitely think y'all should give it a chance if you haven't already, or if you have given it a small chance, to just keep going on until the sixth episode and see where you fall then. So yeah, Punchline. How did that happen?
Insane Ninja Shing.
Plastic Memories is finally over, and yeah, my thoughts on the show have not changed, and I think that could be, it's not so much a problem as it is an unpopular opinion, seemingly, from, and I've seen the rankings for Plastic Memories increase, and I don't understand why so many people seem to like the show. I mean, I guess I can see why people would like it if they just look at it as a romantic comedy that's, oh, jokey, har har, look at this little sweet story of these two people, well, one person, and then one, whatever, robot, what are they called? I can never remember. Latvia? No, it's definitely not Latvia. Truvia? No, that's a sweetener. I don't know. Something? Helvetica? That's a font. Something. I think it's something along those lines, though. It's somewhere between a country, a sweetener, and I don't remember what the other one I said was. But it's in between there, the font. But yeah, I mean, the show is just, I think it is so exploitative in the way it manipulates, the way it manufactures its emotions, because it starts off with so much potential, and it just kind of threw all that potential out. You're thrown into this world, and it's a very interesting world where these robots, what are they called? Giftias. I'm pretty sure that's right. Where you have these Giftias that are basically as human-like as a robot can be. You know, they can feel, they can taste, they have emotions, and they have a lifespan even. That's something that also puts them more in line with humans and not just robots who can go on forever and ever and ever and just, you know, require a battery change. But all of that is just a setup to try and manufacture future feels for this relationship that the show is really all, it's all the show's about, is this relationship between Skasa and Isla. And I guess if that's what you're invested in, if that's what kept you coming back the whole time for the show, is just to watch this relationship happen, then you probably love the show. And I can see why the ranking on like my anime list is just shooting up. I think it was like at around 1800 a few weeks ago, and now it's cracked the 100, so it's at 870 at the time of this recording. And I'm just like, oh my god, you people are nuts. Yeah, I don't want to hate on people for liking the show, because if you like it, then that's good. It's good for you to like what you like and to enjoy it, and don't let anyone ever make you feel like you shouldn't like something. But I just don't understand why there is as much love for this show as there is, just because there was so much potential. They had all these interesting ideas in the beginning, and you got to see more of the world in the beginning and them actually retrieving Giftias for like a few episodes. But then as the show continued, I realized that the whole point of that was just so that you would understand that, oh, this sad moment is going to happen with this relationship that is more often played for laughs than anything else. It's just kind of like, oh, this is a goofy rom-com. But don't forget, when this show ends, she's going to die because she doesn't have much time to live. And that's the whole point of this entire series, is just to give you, we just want you to get invested in this relationship so that you'll cry at the end when you already know we're going to kill her, essentially kill her. They do, of course, have their little after the credits thing where you see his new partner and her hand. Well, you It's a small hand, seemingly a feminine hand. Kind of looks like what Isla's hand looked like. So they even leave it on this open note of, oh, maybe she's returned. And if not her, it's her body, which would then be weird for him to like be into that. But yeah, I definitely don't love the show. I don't even think I like the show because I feel like it was so manipulative with how it handled emotions and just using this world and these ideas that could have been so much more just to create a situation that would make people watching the show feel so much, get all those feels and cry in the end. And I don't appreciate that. I don't want a show, you know, I don't want anything creative. Whether it's a book, a TV show, a movie, etc., to be so clearly trying just to make me break down or just trying to hit me extremely hard just for the sake of doing it. And that's all. I don't feel like it was for the benefit of the story for all of it. I don't like the way it was all handled in Plastic Memories. And I know that makes me the bad guy here. I'm glad that this podcast isn't like super, super, super popular. I'm glad I don't have like tens of thousands of listeners, because then I would just get pooped on like so much. So I'm happy I'm not super popular enough to be pooped on that much, because then my equally unpopular opinion about Plastic Memories will not be so pooped on. I got poop on my brain, apparently. Someone must have pooped on my face, and then it seeped through my pores and into my brain. Lovely imagery, but I guess that's what happens when watching Plastic Memories. I don't know. I kind of wish we could get more of this world, but not if that means just another stupid rom-com. I don't know. I want to like this show so much because I do like quite a few of the characters. And the funny thing is, too, I think I've mentioned this at one point, of all the characters, I kind of like Skasa and Isla the least. Isla, she grew on me, but I don't know. Skasa is just like, whatever. And I also, another thing I have an issue with the show is that their relationship, I don't buy it. Him liking her as much as he ended up liking her in the time frame, don't buy it. Her, she's a different story, but him, I don't get him. I don't, everything just feels like, okay, we have to do this, 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 and this so that we can manufacture all these feels. That's what this is to me. Plastic Memories is a great title for the show because plastic is just cheap and this is cheap. I guess. Whatever. Cheap Memories. Cheap. That's what it should be called. Cheap Memories. But if you liked it, good on you. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I can't wait for my teen romantic comedy snafu Three's Company 2, the title of the third season, which hasn't officially been announced because with the way the second season ended, there has to be a third season. Or, you know, some people are like, oh, maybe there'll be a movie to end the series. You know what? I'd be okay with that, but I'd rather have a third season. I don't know. It's not that I hate movies. I just like series more so because you get more out of it. But, yeah. The last episode of this season was... it wasn't super eventful in that, like, a lot of crazy things were happening. But more so just this very kind of somber and bittersweet and just a bit slow, but not slow in a bad way. It was just a date between Yui, Yukino, and Hiki. And they all went out to the aquarium together and spent the day together because their relationships with each other have been at the core of the series the whole time. And it leaves on a very open note with Yukino saying she has a request, but we don't know what that request is. And we also don't know where everyone... Well, we specifically don't know what Yukino is truly feeling because she hasn't said it. And no one has said anything actually out there and openly. They're always talking in backward speak. And Hiki hasn't revealed anything about what he actually wants. I just need to find out what's going on because I adore these characters. I adore the series. I know some people are not, and I'm not sure if people are not a fan of the way the season ended because it was left so open, and there has yet to be a third season confirmed, though I don't see how there won't be something else coming, whether it is, like I said, a movie or a third season. There has to be something. And if there is a third season, I definitely, with how the series ended, the season has ended, and where it's going, I think a third season should be the final season. That I don't know what they would do past that. If there was more than a third season, then it would kind of just feel like they're dragging the show along just because it was popular enough to warrant them into doing such a thing. But yeah, second season overall, really, really, really liked it. It was definitely on the more serious side. And yeah, the way it ended, I just need more. That's going to probably be common with all these seasons as they're wrapping up, these series as they're wrapping up. Though I'm sure with Plastic Memories, I'll be like, I'm happy you're done. Sorry, Plastic Memories fans. That's the show I'm about to watch next. But yeah, Oregaru Season 2, very good. Very good. I think I'll just start calling it Oregaru more often because it's so much shorter, so much easier to say, so much quicker. But yeah, I really, really liked it. It was just full of the feels. I didn't cry or anything because I just can't bring myself to tears with anime for whatever reason. I don't know. But there were definitely the feels, and it was just kind of me on the edge of my seat wondering what was going to happen as you're just watching this date unfold and just waiting for the foot to drop or whatever that stupid saying is. I don't know. I don't say it often because if I did, I would have not been so sure or so quick to say, I'm not sure what this saying is. But yeah, the pin to drop, I think that's it. That sounds way more right. But yeah, it was a very kind of underlying layer of tension to the episode as just sitting back waiting to see when Yui was going to speak up, because it was clear that she was going to be the one who was going to speak up of all of them. You know, Hiki is just kind of not, he's just kind of there. He's just kind of, you know, just going with the flow, while Yukino is like kind of seemingly very nervous and unsure of what to do because things are going on that are uncommon to her, not uncommon to her, but just unfamiliar to her at the moment, and things that are unexpected feelings wise. But we, of course, are not exactly sure what's going on, and I'm excited to see where season 3 takes us, because I'm so sure there will be a season 3. If not, somebody's going to get punched in the face. But yeah. Oregaru season 2. So good. Love that show. Maybe my favorite show of this season. Yeah, I don't know. But real good.
Insane Ninja! Shing!
The first season of Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon is finally over. And I say first season because if there's not more, well, there's going to be a problem. But it was a good episode. I have mixed feelings about it. It was very exciting, very entertaining, full of action. Probably the most action-packed episode of the season. But it was all action, and it really, in a similar way of how No Game No Life ended, it really just is like, oh, this is only the beginning. Now, wait for more. When will you be getting more? Who knows? And I don't like that, because I want more, and I want more now, and I'm not sure when we'll be getting more, because I don't know what the situation is regarding the manga. I don't know what the situation is with the show, as in why was it created? Because I'm pretty sure No Game No Life was created just to try and sell the manga. And then it got fairly popular, and then there are a whole bunch of other issues as to why it's probably not going to return, at least not anytime soon. And I don't know what the case is with Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon. I hope it's not a similar situation, but I just have this, I have this horrible feeling in my gut, because when you like something and you just want it, and you want it right now, it never works out. That's such a pessimistic way to look at everything. But anyway, the final episode of this season was quite good. It was very action-packed, as I said. They had their level boss, and it was quite the boss with regenitals, the ability to regenerate. So every time they would do damage, even if it was fairly significant, even if they blew off half of his head, it could regenerate. Even when Bell basically destroyed the upper half of it, it was going to be able to regenerate if he didn't go in there and destroy it. But yeah, there was a lot of... I don't think anyone died, which was kind of... I don't want to say... It's sad that no one died, but the fact that no one was, that there was no serious loss, despite this grave enemy, you know, I kind of feel like there should have been some death, or there should have been something that was more impactful. But it was more so, I guess, about Bell just continuing to become this great hero that he will become. And yeah, it's really just that beginning. It's like, he's the real thing. He is the real thing. And now we're all in for a treat, whenever the show decides to continue. But it was good. It was the one thing that I didn't like visually was the fact that this level boss basically brought in like a brimstone feel to it or whatever, and just had the entire series, I mean, not the entire series, the entire episode for a large part of it covered in a layer of red, so that you're just looking at red a lot, and it took away from how pretty the show can be and how varied it can be, because there's so much red, so often red, not for the entire episode, but there was plenty of just red everywhere. And I don't mean blood, I just mean it was red. But yeah, it was good, solid, but just left me wanting more and not really knowing when more will come. Ryu was again awesome. She may be my favorite character on the show, actually. There's this wonderful mysterious part about her. And she's also a badass, and she's not one of these, oh my God, Belle, you're so cute. I just want you for me type of personality. So she's a really, really strong female character in a show that has a few strong female characters, but then it also plays up the whole harem aspect of the show. So it's nice having a few who aren't so, oh my God, Belle, you're so great. The one thing that kind of sucks, though, I understand why, because she already left, but what's her name? Eyes, or however, the Sword Princess, she wasn't in the episode at all, I'm pretty sure. Not even, like, anyone talking about, like, oh, I think something crazy happened in the lower levels of the dungeon, like, when they're going back up top, or, you know, I would have liked to have seen something from her. And also the after the credits scene, which was, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. Complete garbage. Complete waste of time. Absolutely unneeded. Worthless. I don't even know why it existed. It was so stupid. I was looking for something big to happen, or at least a bit of information to be just thrown out there. Just a smidgen. But nothing. It was garbage. If somebody has a different opinion about that, I would love to hear it, because as far as I'm concerned, that was just like, oh, I didn't need to see that or anything at all, because that was just a waste of my time. But is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon? The season is over. It was a pretty good season overall, though it kind of, near the end, got to a point where it was just like, oh, you're getting close to the end. Don't know what you're going to be doing about that. And it ended how I figured it would, on not so much cliffhanger, just this basic expansion of the world, or just this whole mentality that everything's only just begun, that this is just the beginning, and there's so much more to this story and to this world, and you're never going to see it. No. Well, probably will. I feel much more confident in getting more seasons of... Is it wrong to pick up? I feel more confident that we're going to get more seasons of this show than No Game, No Life. But yeah, it's a very good season. Very good show. If you haven't watched it yet, now's a great time to jump in, because you can just eat it all up in one sitting or two sittings. And then you can get right to the point where you'll be wanting more like everyone else and not getting it. So, welcome to the club of not getting any.
Insane Ninja! Shing!
Food Wars this week was solid. No problems chewing it up. It was easy to digest. Somewhat tasty, but not overly stimulating. I think that's enough with all these ridiculous food jokes, if you even want to call them that. But it was a solid episode. I think probably the best part of the entire episode was the very beginning, when What's-His-Face from their dorm, the number 7 on that top 10 or whatever, when he was having his dream of all the... Are they all freshmen? But all of the people in their on this little test returning and being completely different, sort of growing up, and Soma being this buff, ridiculous guy, and Megumi being this very, like, confident person. But it was kind of just, I don't want to say paint by numbers, but it was just a very kind of jam-packed episode, in that you have a whole bunch of the characters all creating their own dishes, and we get a little snippet of what everyone's making, and it ends on somewhat of a cliffhanger with Soma having not really produced many dishes and being kind of in this bind where it's like, oh, what is he going to do? And it was obvious that was going to happen from the very beginning, because of what he chose to make for this buffet. I was like, bouquet? Buffet? With the whole omelet thing, I'm like, that's just, you're not going to do it with that. You're going to end up screwing up, or something's going to happen, and you're going to have to think on the fly and create something. And that's clearly what the next episode is going to be, which should be very interesting. So, kind of like the last two episodes, I feel like this one is leading into what will be a great 14th episode or 13th. So yeah, I think for the most part, it was a solid episode, but I think it was really more so leading up to what will be a very good and interesting follow-up episode. But yeah, the series is still going along quite strong. I didn't mean to rhyme there, but I did anyway. And we're also introduced to a new character in this episode. I'm apparently feeling belchy. Alice, who's super pale with pale hair like Snow White, I dig her attitude, and the mystery behind her, and her little friend who's just there to intimidate with his balls, his, boding balls or whatever they're called, those Chinese medicine health balls, million different names, I love those things. I love playing with those balls. Just get them in your palm of your hand and just start swirling them around in circles, circular motion with the balls. Just two of them. Two balls, hands, circling motion. That was another good moment of the episode, though. When she's like, "Where are your balls?" She's like, I left him somewhere or whatever. Whatever he says, I don't know. But they made a balls joke and it amused me because I'm a child. But yeah, Food Wars is going strong, but nothing particularly special in this episode. Sort of the best parts were the balls joke and the beginning and end where you have whatever his name is having his dream where everyone's returning and having grown up and become this, you know, completely different person, except for the glasses kid who perished, and all that remained were his busted up glasses, which I could definitely see happening. But and then the end where you just get this, I don't think there was any animation, I think it was just a still frame of the same guy in like a loincloth, and you get to see him from the back, so you get to see his wonderful behind playing ping pong with someone. So yeah, those were the best parts of this. And I forget what the dish is, but that blonde-haired kid, the Italian dish he made, which was like this eggs, something, and then thrown into a salad. Oh, that looks so delicious. I really wanted to eat that one, and I might have to make that one at some point because I have eggs every day, and oh, that looked great. And of course, the Eggs Benedict, they looked really good and they reacted really well to them because, of course, they're from Arena, so why wouldn't they? But just the fact that that's more of a common dish here and they make light of that, they make sure to point that out, that it's more of a Western dish. It wasn't the most exciting dish to see, but yeah, it looked really good. That's one thing the show keeps doing extremely well, is making the food look good. I don't know what it is about animated food that just looks delicious when done right. I remember, this is a stupid thing to bring up, but Dinosaurs Were Back, or whatever that animated movie was. I remember thinking the sausage in that movie looked so delicious. And it was just, it was sausage, so it was just like a hot dog. It's nothing, it was not beautifully animated or drawn or anything. It was just, I don't know. I think it was the way when they bit into it, it kind of just ripped. And it was like, oh, it looks perfect. But, yeah. A lot of things going on in this episode. A lot of different characters cooking up their dishes. And we get to see little snippets of everyone's dishes and all the judges and whatnot reacting to it. And they're like, and it really is just, as I've said multiple times, a setup for the next episode, because we see everyone's doing pretty well in this specific challenge. But then we get to Suma at the end and we're like, oh, he's struggling. What's going to happen? Everyone's concerned that he might fail this and, you know, get expelled. But we all know that when the next episode arrives, he will rise to the challenge and blow everyone away. because that's his role on the show. This is all about him. Duh. So yeah, Food Wars. If you haven't started watching it, now's the time to catch up and get on board so that you can stay with it until it ends with whatever, 24 episodes. I don't know. Something like that. Or this could be an on, I don't know. Whatever. Go watch some Food Wars, and if nothing else, just watch it for the food and the recipes, and then start cooking up this food because it is good looking and it tastes good. I think I realized this a while ago, but Hibiki Euphonium is just not really doing much for me. And I don't know why, as a fan of music, I should be really into this. But I guess it's in part because I was never part of band, so I can't relate to that. The music isn't great in the show because it is more so these characters practicing very small parts. You know, they might have a few bars that they just practice over and over and over again, and we get to hear that over and over again. We don't actually get to hear the finished piece often, and even if we're hearing the entire band playing together, it's for very brief moments. But also, just the characters, none of them are particularly interesting to me. I want to like the show more, and I don't actively dislike it, but I don't actively like it either. I'm just kind of, I don't know, I heard it recommended from a few people. I caught up to it however many episodes ago, and then I've just kind of been watching it, and it's a show that is very forgettable to me as well, because I kind of just, I watch it, and then nothing particularly stands out to me, and I'm just like, okay. And then I see it's in my queue, and a new episode came out, and I watch it, and then I'm like, okay. And then I watch another one. So, and there's only one episode left, so I don't, it's weird. I'm very confused about my relationship with this particular show. And it's a very weird experience to watch something and not have any particularly strong feelings for it in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like I actually had stronger feelings about aspects. I remember really disliking the one trumpet player because she's just very annoying. But that was just a few episode arc, and now it's just kind of like a woo. I don't know what that noise is, but yeah, I'm just kind of going with the flow, and I wonder how the show will end. I'm assuming at least, if nothing else, we'll be getting a very nice finished piece, so the music should be good. But yeah, and I'm guessing that, I'm assuming this is based off a manga because that just makes sense, but I'm assuming that there, well, who knows with anime, you never know, but there's no way this story can really end here at the end of the season. I mean, it could end with them. I'm not sure if this competition they're going to is to see if they'll make it to nationals. But if that is the case, then the season will probably end with them winning or either on a cliffhanger of not knowing if they've made it to nationals. Either way, there needs to be more for it to really feel satisfying, because if it ends with them making nationals, then it just means, okay, they made nationals, but there's so much more that needs to be done. It's like only the beginning, just like with the dungeon show. And if it ends with the cliffhanger, then it's even worse, because it's like, well, did they make nationals or not? It would be great. I would fall in love with Hibiki Euphonium if it was just a single season series, and if it ends on them missing nationals again. I think that would be great. It would just crack me up and be like, it would kind of remind me like Friday Night Lights. Like, you came so close. You went from being a team that could barely make bronze or whatever, and you made subpar gold again. At least, you know, Reyna and
Kumiko made Subpar Goldian because they're the only two from the other school. Yes. I'll take a martini shaking instead. I don't know why I'm talking like this. But, yeah. I don't know how I feel about this show. And it weirds me out that I'm just so... I'm a very indifferent person in many ways and many parts of my life. But to be so indifferent about this show, it's very concerning. But, yeah. If it does end with them just missing out on Nationals, I would love this show. I would adore it. I'd probably go back and watch everything again and just be like, you guys, you're going to come so far, but you're not going to make it. But nobody would like that. I'm the only person in the world who would find that amusing. I would also find that that would just be refreshing because, you know, in all these types of shows, not specifically anime, but any kind of show or movie, you always get your happy ending, typically. So it's nice. It would be nice to get something that isn't so happy. Yeah. But I'd really love to hear what y'all think about Hibiki Euphonium if y'all are watching it. Since I am so indifferent, I would love to hear from people who are either like really loving it or disliking it for whatever reason. Yeah. Let me know in the comments or whatnot. Blah, 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 blah.
Insane Ninja! Shing!
Finally, after months and months and months and months and months, with a little bit of extra months sprinkled on top for added flavor, I went back and watched Log Horizon, just the first season, which is still a hefty amount of anime, being 25 episodes in all. But I also decided to just go back and start from the very beginning because I couldn't remember exactly where I left off, and even then, if I did, I don't really remember much of what happened in the show, so it was, you know, I figured it's probably a good idea to just start from the very beginning, and that's what I did, and I've got mixed feelings. Artistically, I'm pretty okay with the show overall. It's not the most, the creature designs aren't that interesting or super original. The world isn't too colorful. It's kind of bland. The characters look pretty good overall, and there's some nice expressions going on throughout. But the one thing that really stands out that just bothers me, and I can't remember if other character, I don't even know if we've seen any other races, other characters of this race, but Nyanta, whatever, the cat guy, he bothers me, and it's because it's entirely because his head kind of just seems to sit on top of his body. I don't ever see a neck for him, and it's very off-putting to me that I don't feel like we've ever seen his neck. We probably have, because there have been 25 episodes, and I'm sure he has a neck, but it just seems like his head just is there and not actually attached to his body. Artistically, it's okay. Nothing super special. The story is interesting. If y'all don't know what it is, there's this MMORPG. That pause really confused me. I was like, what am I talking about? Elder Tales or something? Probably don't want to get sued by the Elder Scrolls, but it's like Elder. And also Elder Sign is a board game, so I think it's Elder Tales or something along those lines. The name doesn't matter that much. But these players of this MMO, a certain number of them, and I think just those who were logged on when the latest expansion pack was added, they ended up getting sucked into the game, and it has become their reality. So now they're all in the game as themselves. They're not playing characters. They are in the game. And this seems to be somewhat of a popular kind of concept. The one thing that revolves around this that is my biggest problem with the show is that so much of it, throughout the entire season, and it annoyed me
quite a bit, even though it doesn't take up a lot of each episode. But they go through all these aspects of an MMO and just kind of explain what they are. You know, it's like, oh, when a raid is this, or et cetera, et cetera. You know, we create this, and this is what happens in this type of game. In this type of game, this is what happens, and when that happens, this happens. I'm like, oh, it feels like you get like this little tiny bit of a tutorial for a video game every single episode, and it gets tiresome to just feel like I'm being, I don't need to be constantly told what is going on. Well, that's a horrible thing to say. I just think it could have been handled in a better way, as opposed to just having these parts where Shiro, the main dude, the what is it? They don't call him the strategist. But whatever they call him. I like it when they call him the villain in glasses. But even though there are multiple characters in glasses, and that's, I'll get to that. But Shiro, every episode is like explaining something for 2-3 minutes, and I'm just like, I feel like you could have shown me this or handled it better, just delivered the information in a more engaging way, as opposed to just telling me in over, you know, like, I don't know, a slideshow of things going on. It's like, okay, I get the point. Maybe it's not as annoying to people who are not as familiar with MMOs, but I feel like the audience, the people who would be interested in the show, are well aware of MMOs and how they work. So, I don't know, it's like this weird, I don't know. But that was kind of annoying. And to the glasses point, I get so annoyed that I think it works for Shiro when he pushes up his glasses, when they start to fall down the bridge of his nose, and it's like, it's sort of his way of like, not intimidating other characters, but it's sort of his like, I thought it was going to be his defining action, sort of like a little subtle action, but then it's like every single character with glasses does it at some point, and does it multiple times, and I'm just like, why does every single person who wear every single character who wears glasses has to at some point, and they have to look mischievous when they do it, push up their glasses on the bridge of their nose? Why? Not everyone does that. I do it, okay, so maybe I should shut up, but not everyone does it, and they don't do it that way. They might grab on the side of their glasses to re-raise it, but I just found that kind of annoying, because I thought it was going to be this, I mean, it's not that cool or anything, but I thought it was going to be this cool characteristic, a cool kind of like trademark of Shiro, but then everyone's doing it, and I'm like, oh, well, that's no fun. But yeah, it was, I will say that it did kind of seem to drag on. I felt like for a 25-episode season, it just kind of meandered about at times. It just seemed like there could have been more done in 25 episodes. When I'm watching so many so many series that are only 12, 13 episode seasons, and they do a lot in those, you know, half as many episodes, and Log Horizon just seems to be taking its sweet time. And I guess it's okay, because I know there's a second season. I'm not sure how that is handled. I think people are not as big a fan of the second season as they were of the first season. And I'm curious to know why. I'll be seeing for myself. I'm not sure if there's another season after that in the works or planned or announced. But I just remember getting near the end of this season and thinking to myself, you know what? Kind of a bit has happened, but really, not that much has happened, and there is no way this season is going to end in a way that would be satisfying as an end to the series if there isn't another season after this. And with 25 episodes, it kind of like, man, come on, pick up the pace. But it's a good show, and there are some storylines that are interesting. What I like most is when the show is playing off of this this world, this MMO, this game breaking off from what they all knew it to be. So it's becoming a real world in a sense. And whenever they end up doing things that are more in line with how things would work in the real world, as opposed to exploiting things that happen in a fictional world, in the game world, or when they kind of meld the two, that's what I like. And that's maybe why I get annoyed when they're delivering this information about the way an MMO works, the way a game works, that it's just very bland and just kind of, it's not different, it's not interesting, it's not exciting, it's just, it's useless. I mean, it's not useless, it's just a bunch of information thrown at you that's, yeah, there it is, whatever. And I'm like, okay. My favorite character is Akatsuki, or however, I'm not exactly sure how her name is pronounced. There's so many characters, so many names, I can't be bothered. But I love her, and I love every time Natsugu says something that's going to be perverted, and she ends up kicking him in the face before he can ever get it out, especially when he says PA and is going to say panties, and she just knees him in the face, and then after kneeing him in the face, it's like, Lord, can I knee this pervert in the face? And I love all those moments. There are not enough of those moments. Well, there are plenty of them, but I love them every time, and I love the fact that the season ended on one of those moments, because that was just a great callback to the very beginning when she kept doing it. But yeah, it's a solid show. I would recommend it more so to people who are really looking for something and don't have anything already on their plate or aren't looking at other shows, because it is a longer show. It is 25 episodes, and it is a bit slow compared to other things I've watched. And there is an entire second season as well that's already available with, I believe, another 25 episodes. So if you want to catch up to the whole thing, that is 50 episodes, which isn't a lot when you compare it to Naruto or One Piece, you know. But it's still a lot when you look at it and say, oh, I could also watch 4 12, 13 episode series seasons as well. So keep that in mind. It's not a super fast, exciting show, but it's well done, and I'm interested to see where it's going after this. I'm trying to think of any other points I want to point out. I did really like the storyline with Rudy, who is one of the people of the land. The people of the land are the NPC characters who are much more like humans, much more like the adventurers. So that's one of the things about it, is that there's the people of the land who are the NPCs, and the adventurers who are all the real life people who have been transported into the game, into their characters. The adventurers, and this is a very important note about the show, the adventurers, if they are killed, they get respawned at the cathedral of whatever town they're at. So they are essentially all immortal. The people of the land, if they die, they're dead. Unless things happen and Shiro found out a way to get around this. And that storyline with Rudy, very interesting. That was I don't want to say it was a fun storyline, because it wasn't fun, but it was something that gave the show a bit more of, it made the show a bit more unique, and it, you know, it gave it something different and something other than just, oh, here's an MMO or whatever. And I like the way the people of the land and the adventurers are starting to interact with each other more, and kind of are both wary of each other. And also this whole, I really hope this side of the adventurers story is explored more in the second season, which is that they've discovered that when they die in the game, they are, of course, brought back to life. They are immortal, but their memories are not entirely brought back. And the memories they think they lose, and they don't know how much, how many memories they lose are those of their life in the real world. And the reason why they're losing memories is because there's this disconnect between the mind and the body during death. And it wasn't a problem when they were just playing the game because their mind was not in the game. Their mind was them being in the real world playing this game, and their body was their avatar. But now that they're both in the same world, both in this area, that there's that thing going on. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to rush to watch the second season, even though I'm interested to see what happens, because I'm like, I am not ready for another 25 episodes of this. I need to take a break, and I want to watch some other shows. So I'm not going to be reviewing that or talking about that for at least a little while. Probably, I'd say maybe a month-ish is when I'll get to that. So if y'all catch up to season one, then maybe you can have some kind of little, I don't know, not really a watch party, because I would watch the whole second season in probably a week's time. But if y'all want to join me in watching that in a week's time when I get around to it, then catch up to season one now, and yeah, let's do that. So, Log Horizon, solid show. I'm hoping that the tutorial aspect of it is gone in the second season. That's my biggest concern. But yeah, I enjoyed it, and it's worth checking out. And it's on Crunchyroll, like so many other shows. I love Crunchyroll. It just rolls off the tongue. I don't know what that has to do with streaming anime rolling off the tongue, but Crunchyroll, Log Horizon, you put them together, you get crunchy logs. That sounds like poop.
And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PXSausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. If you're into video games and would like to listen to a show all about those things, y'all should check out Pixelated Radio, which y'all can also find on the site. Of course, both podcasts are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Reviews would be greatly appreciated. If you would like to leave a comment or a question for this show, please email me at psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Leave a comment in the post, or you can, you know, just tweet at me. Go tweet, 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 tweet. And yeah. If you're into racing, you should also check out the racing-themed podcast, Sports Car Unleashed, at scunleashed.com, which is hosted by one of the co-hosts of Pixelated Radio. He's a pretty swell individual. And, yeah, I hope y'all have a lovely rest of your day, and yay anime! Hver maður frá frakasti, kutu, ég glendi ekki því sem þú gerði, kutu, þú mátt ekki að vala sér sorgi, kutu, finnur þú ekki fyrir núna, farðu, 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 þetta maður mín, elska mín. Mother of me, let that kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man. Sjáðu því sem þú gerir, kutu, núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera, kutu, hjartan skal deyja aldrei, kutu, en þú er ekki hjörtu, farðu, 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 þetta maður mín, elska mín. Mother of me, let that kiss you bad, let that kiss you bad, man.